Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We have spoken concerning the marriage covenant, how God instituted marriage before the fall. It was a most beautiful union, and it continues to be because it is instituted by God. And all husband and wife who come into this union by the mercies of God, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you find that you will receive the grace of God to fulfill it. It is not by your own strength that you can fulfill this marriage covenant. On our own, we realize that we cannot. But God will. He will help us. Isn't it so comforting to know that when God ordains and gives a commandment to us to do according to His will, we are not alone to struggle through. And you would realize also that the grace of God came not only upon the believers, right? Unbelievers, God gives children to, the common grace of God. You see, when the first family was formed, Adam and Eve, God gave Cain and Abel, Genesis chapter 4, after the fall. And how in that first marriage, that first family was also the first murder. The elder brother killed the younger brother. The family was devastated. There was a great tragedy in the family because of the depravity of human nature when it's not subdued. But you notice that God did not cause Cain to be struck down immediately. God placed a mark upon him. God's mercy was upon him. God allowed him to multiply. And you would notice also that Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 5 is a description of a parallel account of two groups of people. In Genesis chapter 4, you would see the man or the family that came through Cain. Right? And in Genesis chapter 5, you would see the family that came through another son of Adam and Eve called Seth. At the end of Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says that men began to praise God again. Will you turn there to Genesis chapter 4? And verse 26 or 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then, watch here, it says, Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. You see, because of sin, because of the depravity of the human mind, the human heart, right, there is that departure from God. But God's grace continues to abide, and He gave to Adam and Eve another son. And so in Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 5, you will see a parallel account. Right? Genesis chapter 4, the line that is through Cain. You see that, you know, they would be the builders of city. They would be, you know, the inventor of the organ, the harp, the entertainment industry. They would be the people who would want to make an existence for themselves forever on earth. Okay, that's Genesis chapter 4. And you would see also, right, that there is this going on. You will see a Lamech in chapter 4. You would also see a Lamech in chapter 5. There is a bad Lamech in chapter 4. And there's a good Lamech in chapter 5. Right? You would also see a bad Enoch in chapter 4 and a good Enoch in chapter 5. Right? The bad Enoch, the son of Cain, God built a city, or Cain built a city and named it after his son. But there is the good Enoch who walked after God. The Bible says that he was translated. God took him to heaven. Right? He had a different perspective of this life. He didn't build cities. Right? He was one who understood, right, to live with eternal values in mind. And so we want us to see the common grace of God that came upon the believing and the unbelieving. And God allowed the proliferation of the unbelievers, right, for a purpose, that they may still populate the earth. But God also did not forsake them. But God, by the time Genesis chapter 12 comes, called a man called Abram to begin a people, a nation that would call upon the name of the Lord. Israel, the nation that would model worship, that would model the family structure, a precursor of what heaven will be. God created the nation of Israel to be a nation of all nations, to be a nation to show, to point to all the nations of the world. Remember Genesis chapter 10, they were all scattered, right? When they were trying to build a tower all that leads all the way to heaven, and make a name for themselves, then God intervened, confound their language. And, you know, many of us here, right, come from our ancestry in China, right? And under the ancestry of Shem, right, one of the sons of Noah after the flood. And how, you know, in the Chinese words and character, there is embedded in the first two dynasty, God, the living and true God, before Buddhism came into China from India. Right? The Lord, they had that knowledge of that living and true God. And the Lord wants us to go back to that knowledge of the living and true God. And as He creates families, you'll find that from the marriage covenant, you'll find that the family goes through different phases. And I've described for you here the four stages of in the evolution of the family. The family in its early years, from marriage to the birth of the first child. Then you see how the family expands to include the birth of children. Children came. Before that, just father and mother alone. Then when children came, the dynamics of the family changed. Remember we said that the purpose of God for the procreation of children is that the entire family may praise God. And you notice that for a time, the first family did not praise God after the death of Abel, and Cain ran away from home until God gave another son by the name of Seth, that men began to praise God again. And you see how that movement in the family, how, you know, God gave children, and the family goes through years of training, what we say, loving, discipling, ultimately releasing. Remember we said one of the function of the father and son relationship is nurturing and grooming the son. The father's task, right, was, every father has an ambition for your children. We have an aspiration for them. We want them, you know, we have a hope for them. And the earthly father has a hope for the children, how they would want the children to be. The heavenly father too has a hope for his children. And the Lord wants us to see and understand that correlation. The father's heart for the nurturing of the children, right? At the end, we would all be there in heaven, praising God. But the training ground is in the family. And the responsibility is given to the father to train the children together with the mother. And you see how, you know, the family goes through years of training, loving, discipling, ultimately releasing the children when they are of age. They would form new families. They would find companions for themselves. And then you see the family is reduced to its original condition. Husband and wife in their twilight years together. And the Lord wants us to see and understand in all this modeling together, in all this coming together, in all this placing together, the Lord wants us to be able to see and understand that correlation, that movement. Okay. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it." God gives us children. What do we do with them? Solomon, in his wise words, give us this advice. We want to go back to the basics. We want to go back to the Word of God to find help, instruction. Okay. Three things. The parental mandate, train up a child. The parental mission, establishing godliness in the child. Parental mark of distinction, enduring godliness in adulthood. Now, this is a very general statement of truth, of that, you know, when we train up a child and spend time in the nurturing of a child, you'd be able to see results. But if you look, you know, at individual cases, you'll find that, you know, there are those that defies the norm. How godly parents, right, would have ungodly children. How ungodly children would have godly, or ungodly parents would have godly children. Well, the Lord brings us general principles, all right, in order that we may learn and we may do that which is pleasing in the sight of God. So in parenthood, you'll find that it is, success is measured by the effort, by what the parents would do to train the children. And we would leave the outcome to the good hand of God. That is faith. Right? That God wants us to trust Him in this work of parenting. And, you know, for every parent, when you become a parent, you find that you have your parent for the first time. Right? You have no training in that sense. And, you know, suddenly a baby comes, you know, and it's your responsibility that God has placed in your hands. Right? So the Bible says, concerning the wife, first time the Bible describes the companion, right, of the man, right, that God ordained, right, procreation. He says in verse 27 and 28 of Genesis chapter 1, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And as we study the Word of God, He would show us, right, that children are the gifts of God. Right, Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. It is, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. The Lord gives children. Right? It is by His mercy and His grace. Well, our heart goes out to those who do not have children. But you see how God would allow children to come into the family. And the Lord says that children not only is a gift of God, but it is a joy to the family. Right? Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Well, children become an asset to the parents. Children become a joy to the parents. How can children, you know, be an asset and a joy to the parents according to God's design? Well, the Lord wants us to bring our children to Him. And so, you know, in the Church of Jesus Christ, you'll find that the Lord would want us to commit this task of parenting to the grace of God. And He instituted the ordinance of baptism. So when a child is born in the Jewish family, 8 days, the child is circumcised. That he is a part of the family of Israel. The same in the New Covenant, New Testament church. Right? Peter said, remember we were studying this not too long ago, how the infant church was filled with new converts coming into the faith. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall live, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise is unto you and to your children. And so the Lord's grace and covenant embraces the children. And the Lord wants us to see and understand, right, that the role of parenting is one of the best jobs. And or is the best job. But it is also the most difficult job. It is a job or it is a work that brings the greatest joy. It can also cause the greatest pain. And this work is, you know, you talk to a mother of a father of a newborn baby, you would know how depleting and how exhausting it is to bring up a child. You carry your pram, or you don't have the pram, you have to carry with your hands, you know, and you have to bring your milk bottle, you have to bring your milk powder, you have to make sure that, you know, you have all of this with you all the time. The feeding is 5 times a day, 8 times a day, every 3 hours, right? And the baby cries, and, you know, well, not the easy task. And you'll find that, you know, there's no area in your life that can make you feel more successful when everything is going well. And there's no area that can make you feel more like a failure when things go wrong. Well, this is a phase that the Lord brings us into. And we realize we are so inadequate. We realize that, you know, we don't have experience, right? It will be first time. First time the child is an infant. First time the child will be a toddler. First time the child will grow, you know, to its teens and its young adults. His youth, his young adult, and reaching adulthood. And you realize that we are so inadequate for it. The man Job, the first book of the Bible, and the first few verses of the Bible, gives to us a godly parent. Job prayed for his children continually. Job 1 verse 5 says, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God. Thus did Job continually." He brought his children before the throne of grace continually. He prayed for them, that the grace of God may abide with them. And a most important part of our work is to keep the details of our child's life covered in prayer. In doing so, what we do, we identify the concerns, the worry, the fear of the child, the possible scenarios. Have you come across a fearful parent? We all you don't know what it means, right? To fear for the well-being of our child. We understand a little bit more about that relationship we have with our Father in heaven, how He wants us to be well. You see, that same, you know, that same heart of the father, of the mother for the child. And what is it that you can do best for your child? Well, begin with prayer. Continue in prayer for the child. You realize that it is by the grace of God that we are able to bring up children. Our wisdom is always insufficient. We realize that we are always lacking. But we realize that God's grace is never lacking. It's always greater. And therefore, the Lord wants us to know that we are not alone when He gives us children. He also gives us His grace to see us through. Right? And we can look to Him. Right? Every child of God, every parent can go to God at the throne of grace. Right? Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, praying, interceding, helping, to make sure that you receive the necessary help you need as you call upon Him. Has God ever failed His children? God never fails His children. And so the Lord wants us to know and understand and see. And, you know, God has also given us much wisdom in His Word. Wise counsels on the role of parents in a Christian home. The book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom. Right. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall your chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. How are you building your home? And the Lord wants us to build it upon His wisdom. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh understanding, knowledge and understanding. How much are you preparing yourself for parenthood? For the task that God has entrusted to you to nurture this child? Do you spend time to learn how to do it? What to do? God gives us His wisdom from His Word. Do we take time? Is this our priority? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 22 verse 15. How the Lord gives us such wisdom, how to bring up children. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Proverbs 23:13. The Lord wants us to go back to the truth, go back to His Word. And so, everything the Lord tells us, hangs upon that training. Our text tells us the way He would go, the way to ruin because of the depravity of His nature, or the way He should go on the pathway to heaven. The Lord wants us to see and learn. Right? So the parents are given that mandate to imbibe this wisdom from God and to impart it to the children. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them, what's that word there? Diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Very practical wisdom. How we are to impart these values to the children. And teaching begins in the home. And you realize that, you know, every parent feels themselves inadequate. But every parent needs to realize the mandate that God gives to you. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So godliness is sometimes caught and not taught. It is taught, but it is also caught through the examples of the parents, through the examples, through the life of the parents. And therefore, we realize that, you know, it is a mandate that the Lord wants us to fulfill. And this can be practiced when the family spends time together, prays together, and have family devotion. We're going to talk about the family altar. Why is it that God always in the Covenant Home instituted the family altar? Because that's where we would be praising God in heaven. And it begins in the basic unit of the family, and it will be extended. We are going to talk about this, to extend it to the church family. The word train has the idea of inauguration, initiation. It is to develop, to form habits, thoughts, or behavior of a child by discipline and instruction. Now, the Lord gives a command, train up. It is a sacred commandment from the Lord for a commitment by this present generation of adults in the training of godly men and women in the next generation. If you have young children, this is the sacred mandate that God gives to you. And whenever God gives a command in the Bible, the Lord also will supply His grace to enable you to fulfill it. If you would obey it, if you would do it, He will help you. So child training is holy calling. Who is this child? You realize that this child is born into the family of Adam after the fall, with a natural tendency toward evil, whose will is in total bondage to sin. Right? David said, behold, I was shaped in iniquity. Right? And earthly training, right? Solomon is saying that it is an urgent and a sacred task, an urgency of the mandate, right? Because the child one day would have to stand before God. God is going to judge that soul, right? Whether he stands justified or condemned. Parents are given this great privilege to influence before the time comes. So what training? Solomon, at the end of his life, we are studying the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon said at the end of it, he says, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of men. The word duty is in the italics. This is all that God would want you to do to train your children. In the fear of God. That's why, you know, in the creation account, it has always described the Lord God. There is that relationship. But this is also the Creator God who will be the judge. Right? Lord Jesus Christ is not only the Savior, but He will also be the final judge. Why is He the judge or the most qualified judge? Because He is the Savior. He offered His life to save. And those who reject it, who reject the grace of God, the word of God, you find that it's a fearful awaiting of judgment. And this world is, you know, under condemnation. We said the Lord is coming again. What is the Lord doing in His coming again? Well, to judge the world. And we are saying here that the days of Sodom are coming upon upon earth. So the time of judgment is nigh. Do we see it? Can we understand the issues which are involved? Do you see what you are supposed to do in the sight of God? And so the Lord wants us to understand, well, what to teach the child. Teach them to fear God. Teach them to keep His commandments. For God shall bring every work unto judgment, into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. No escape. All of us will have to give an account one day. And our text tells us that you are to start early. The critical years are the early years. The emphasis or the sense of the word train up means has the idea of initiation. Start early. Train him when he is young. A young oak tree can be bent with very little effort. But an old oak tree, you can hardly do anything to it. Right? It is fixed in its form. Ah. But God can change. Right? By young or by old, through His grace. So the wisdom is start early. Right? While you can. So the Apostle Paul said, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers are to bring up, nourish up the child to maturity. And this is what God has for you as a father. This is what you ought to do. A wake-up call. Treasuring and giving priority and time and resources to these early years of a child's life in inculcating godliness in a child is the emphasis of this mandate. Do it! You obey, God's grace will tarry with you. But you see that the norm today is very different. Right? The working mother phenomenon is all too common today. Husband and wives work and children are left in the care of childcare centers and maids and grandparents. And in today's business world, it's worked and oftentimes it means going on business trips, days on end. Right? It's not uncommon that a child would cry and say, Mommy, Mommy, don't go. Or Daddy, Daddy, don't go. How long will you be away? 8 days. We will miss you. Right? And then the cycle repeats again and again. And so the child is left to the instruction of who? Well, whoever that comes in the child's life. And so the Lord wants us to see and understand, right, that it is important to give priority to build a family for eternity. But you see a different priority in the people today. The priority for the family is living better, dressing better, driving better, eating better. So for the young family, they would have a commitment of loans for housing, for cars, for renovation. That requires both husband and wife to work to ensure that the family do not default on their loans. This is society. Right? Christian families, many Christian families are like that. So here the Lord wants us to think and consider what we ought to do in help them in the way he should go. Initiate the child, that's the meaning, to the mouth of his way or at the opening of his path. The literal translation is like that. When he begins life, that journey of life, he's equipped with a series of instructions how he should conduct himself in every step he takes. There is that need to show the child what are his duties, what are the things that would cause him to fall, the temptations that would come his way, the way of blessing, the path of blessing, the direction to take, the duties to perform, how to have blessings. Well, as he goes, there is that life before him, sharing the gospel to the child is most crucial. Without spiritual life, the child is what the Bible calls the natural man. So the child from young can be led to know Christ, his birth, his teaching, his death, his resurrection. You know, we have Bibles from toddler, infant Bibles, you know, to picture Bibles, different types of Bibles that we have today, that you can get hold of, very sound material that you can do to teach them. Right? And the process is done with much prayer and supplication for God's wisdom and blessing to inculcate the truth to the child. And what is the blueprint for training? The Word of God. It is through the Bible and the faith in the Bible that we do what we do and practice what we practice. And that is what we are doing, bringing you through to understand the design of God, the heart of God, then showing you what God wants you to do, and then bringing you along to show what practical steps we need to do to take. Right? You would find that we are going to talk about teething issues tomorrow. Teething issues in the family. Conflicts that comes in the family. And, you know, the mandate doesn't end with just our children. It's also our children's children. You see here in Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 and 2, Moses said to Israel, "Now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God." You see, the fear of God is always there. "And to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command thee." If we don't fear God, then we want to do our own things. Then judgment comes. "Thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life and thy days may be prolonged." Thy sons and thy son's son. So when you have a son or daughter, you know, the mandate is for not 5 years, not 10 years, not 15 years, not 20 years, you know, not just 30 years, you know, but children's children, 40 years, 50 years. And the intensity of training, we have spoken about it. Right? You have to do it diligently. "Talk of them when thou sittest and when thou walkest, by the way thou liest down, thou risest up." How to train? Now we come to the practical part. We said not just quality time, but quantity time. There's no substitute for this dedication and devotion given to child training. You want to leave it to someone else? You want to leave it to the church? You want to leave it to somebody else to teach? Well, the Bible says the primary role is with the parents. This process requires much patience and love on the part of parents. The child experiences the parents' love. How do you build a bond with a child? Except you're born with the child, right? You are there to see to the ups and downs. The child experienced the parents' kindness, gentleness, sympathy. So this training is very focused. There is that interaction that is so vital. And it's the knowledge of the Bible. In the habits of prayer, you teach a child to pray from young. Even in the mother's womb, you begin to pray for the child. And you teach the child how to commune with God. This is what we will do in eternity, in the worship of God. The child is taught at a young age to pray, to develop dependence not on himself, but in God. The habit of diligence and obedience, of faith, of truthfulness, of redeeming time. So many things that we need to teach them about godliness. The parental mark of respect or honor. And when he is old, he shall not depart from it. If the child is properly disciplined when he is young, he will be controlled, self-controlled, and responsible. When he is old, he will not turn aside from the faith. The Old Testament word there is means to apostatize, right? To rebel against God. Okay? So the last point is an encouragement for parents to the rewards of child training. Okay? Well, a Christian pastor said, I read the scripture to my family in some regular order, and am pleased to have thus a lesson found for me. I look on the chapter of the day as a lesson for that day, and so I regard it as coming from God for the use of that day and not for of my own seeking. Do you do that? Do you read a passage of scripture? Pray with your children. It doesn't take much time. That shepherding work. We all know about John Newton. He was a slave trader. And we produced the devotions, the Amazing Grace, and after his story, how the mother trained him as a child. When he was very young, and 6-7 years old, mother passed away. And then he began a life on his own. As a sailor, he did all the things that he ought not to do. But one day he was in a storm. And, you know, the boat was sinking. And he cried out for mercy. You know who did he cry to? He cried out to his mother's God. That training that the child, that you give to your child, the Lord, by his grace, will bring it to their remembrance. So the mother has gone to heaven many, many years before. But God honor that effort. Right? John Newton was soundly converted in that storm. And how he never forgot God's mercy on him. Although he lost his mother at a young age, those early years of training in the scripture were effectual. It led to his salvation and in his resolve to serve God with his life. The parental mandate, train up a child. The parental mission, establishing godliness in the child. The parental mark of honor, enduring godliness in adulthood. May the Lord bless the hearts of every parent to take heed to the Lord's command to train up a child in the way he should go. And the Lord's promise is that when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for thy mercy in showing us thy word. May thou be gracious to help us to do so to the edification of our family. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.